Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Desatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tirupalani. And Tirupalani. Just repeat something that we learned already. Tiru is another word, or a Tamil word, for Sri. So Tiru, Pulani, is a being let down, and Pul. The Lord was in a reclining position. Garba Rama Garba Rama. If we didn't know that the nature of the pastime here, it certainly would look like Lord Vishnu reclining on Anantashesha. But if you look really closely, you'll see he's reclining on Anantashesha on top of Darbha grass, indicating a pastime of Lord Ramachandra as he was very anxious to cross the ocean, and on recommendation of Vishan, to request Samudra assist him and allow passage to cross the ocean to Lanka. So Lord Ramachandra lived upon grass, Darbha grass, for 7 days, fasting, patiently anticipating that Samudra or Varuna would come. So that pastime of Lord Ramachandra is indicated by the deity. Is there anyone here that did not have darshan of the deities? Okay. So when we have our little break in between or something or other, be sure to take darshan. Those of you that had darshan and you don't know, now you'll know, and those that didn't have darshan, now you'll know, and then you'll have darshan. This is Lord Ramachandra in his reclining position. The significance of this place, along with Lord Ramachandra performing this, He is the Supreme Lord. Why does he need austerity? He's the Supreme Lord. Why does he need anything? Why does he need Samudra to help him cross the ocean? He doesn't. It's a pastime, and it's engaging his devotee in some service, and before that service, sometimes, before there's service, there's a little resistance to service. Although we like to serve, sometimes there's some resistance to service. And sometimes there's some pride in the heart that's the cause for that resistance to service. And relinquishing pride and coming to the position of surrender is this place. This is the place of surrender. Sharanagati Kshetra. If you noticed, On one side of that altar, there's Vibhishan, with folded palms, patiently waiting for Ram to accept him. On our right side, facing the deity, there's another little altar where it's Varuna and Varuni, and they're with folded palms requesting the Supreme Lord's accepting them and accepting their forgiveness and their submission and their surrender. So we'll hear some more about, we'll hear a lot more about the position of surrender as this place signifies. It's such an important essential element of devotional service, of bhakti. Certainly it's there in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes to illustrate this principle of surrender, why it's so important. Inside the altar to the right, you have to kind of look around and down to the right. There are two spies representing Ravana who came to carry a message to Sugriva to defect, to abandon the shelter of Ram and instead take the powerful position of being with Ravana. And when they understood Ram's position, with a little help from the monkey warriors, particularly Vibhishan, who understood, even though they were in a disguise, the Rakshasas had the shape-changing capacity, they could assume different forms. They assumed monkey-like forms, but Vibhishan understood right away who they are. And the monkey started beating them up and beating them up and beating up, thrashing them and crashing them, and they called Ram's name, and Ram gave them shelter. So we hear the details of these pastimes, but pastimes are to help us spiritually through historical events understand teachings or principles of bhakti. That's why we're here. The pastimes are very beautiful, and where the pastimes take us is essential. Those of you that did go, you saw a very large peepal tree in the back. And those of you that didn't go, now you know what it is before you go there. This is, according to the pujari that led us, this is not only a tree under which Adi Jagannath appeared, but the tree himself is Adi Jagannath, Ashvat Narayana is their local terminology. And in Satya Yuga, beneath this Ashvat Narayana tree, a Shalagram Shila was being worshipped by three great sages. And their worship was so strong, pure, intense, and sustained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, revealed his form to them. And they were blissfully happy. And they made this one request: please, beneath this same peepal tree, assume a form, a deity form, that throughout the ages, those who may come here can see your beautiful form and worship you. And so, to oblige these great sages, he did. And that's the Adi Jagannath deity. We heard several times the number of years which this deity has been manifest. But at least we can say Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. That much time at least. We read in Ramayana about Dasarath performing a yajna under the guidance of a qualified very amazing brahmana, and that Putra Kameshti Yagya, according to the local temple personalities, took place here. He came and he worshipped Adi Jagannath. And the Putra Kameshti Yagya was performed here. And then it became known that the very same Adi Jagannath would become his son, Lord Ram, along with Shatrughna Bharata and Lakshmana. This Adi Jagannath deity is a sitting deity, and his right leg is raised and is propped on the inner side of his left leg. And his mudras, one hand is the benediction mudra. Whoops, this hand is the benediction mudra. And the other hand is a calling. You know, in the West we go, you know, like, hey, come here. Hey, buddy, come on over. But this is a little more subtle. Calling like this, with just one finger. Now, when we were at the temple in Madurai, there's the deity of Lord Vishnu there similarly has a benedicting hand and a beckoning hand. This is more like this. Yeah.
Big deity.
Yeah, the big deity.
Kudalagar.
Yeah. Kudal
Alagar.
One hand benedicting and the other hand beckoning. So we couldn't see his hand because he had this mitt on his hand. You know, the covering. But similarly, at least those that are familiar with the deity have described the deity's hand is shaped where he's calling to take shelter of him. And similarly here, the Adi Keshava, beckoning mudra for the devotees to come and take shelter of him. Somehow there's this temple has this feature, special feature. If you happen to be not married, come here and you do a certain set of rituals and you'll get married. And if you're married and you don't have any children, come here and do a certain set of rituals and you'll have children. So it seems like a special thing about this temple. Okay. Okay. You know how it is in India. People get an idea and they do something imaginative, and then a whole bunch of other people get that idea. Oh, that's nice. They do the same imaginative thing. So in that tree back there, there were lots of baby cradles for husbands and wives that had no children, and they would offer their prayers and put a baby cradle waiting for a baby to show up. Or something like that. These things go on not only in Tirupalani. So, nearby, in a holy place that has a long history, almost as long as the Adi Jagannath deity himself, was a place called Pula Ranya, a forest where Pula Rishi had his ashram. And Pula Rishi was in the association of a number of saints and sages and holy men, and he was the chief amongst them. And every day, he lived really, really simply. He took a bath in a local kund. And that kund at the time was called Chakratirtha. We'll hear some more about Chakratirtha in a little bit. And then the whole day, he would worship Lord Narayana. His eating was very frugal. Some roots and some berries and fruits. And that was it for the day. And then worship Lord Narayana. And he was very, very happy doing this. Of course, this was in a previous age when people were very happy without a lot of things. And he performed this austerity and devotion for 1,300 years, every day. That's all he did, and he was very happy. And his devotion became more and more intense and strong and pure and fixed. So much so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, showed his form along with Sri Bhuvaneela, his consorts. And he appeared beneath this same peepal tree. And Pularishi had his darshan and offered some very beautiful prayers. The translation of those prayers are here, but basically honoring his position as the cause of all causes, the source of everything, he who is most merciful, especially merciful upon those who take shelter of him in devotion, and he, appreciating how merciful he was to give his darshan. Meanwhile, there were two other rishis. In addition to Pipal Rishi, there was Devala Rishi. I know a nice devotee named Devala. Devala came to the same location, knowing that the Adi Jagannath deity was here. He similarly lived in a very simple way, performing austerities and doing his proper process of meditation. And one day when he came to the same kund to take his bath, much to his surprise, there were seven heavenly damsels that weren't in a very devotional mood at all. They were playing and laughing and splashing and taking their bath in the kund completely naked. And along came Devala Rishi, and very similar to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were so like filled with their mirth and happy times, they just even pay proper attention to Devala Rishi. So understanding their mentality, he cursed them that they would become yakshas, fallen souls, yaksha women. Then they had their little uh-oh experience. Uh-oh, we've offended a big sage. And so they appealed to the sage for his forgiveness and, you know, make the sentence a little lighter, please. And Devala said, don't worry. You'll be relieved from this curse in the following way. The curse was a benediction. You can become purified by worshipping Adi Jagannath every day with genuine devotion. And this very same Adi Jagannath will appear later as the son of Dasarath, Lord Ram. Lord Ram will come here again to this very place. And when you see him, you offer your respects and obeisances to him, just as you're pleading with me, and you should offer your worship to Adi Jagannath. And he is very merciful. He will free you from your curse, and you can return to your heavenly damsel forms. And so it happened. So just like that, they became yaksha women. And they began worshipping Adi Jagannath. Then, in another distant place, not so distant, there was another rishi. His name was Kanva. And Kanva Rishi was very austere. Remember, I'm sure you remember, because I've said it several times. The climate here is hot, hotter and hottest. So during the summer, Kanva built seven circles of fire around him and did his meditation in the middle of the summer, in the midst of seven circles of fire. Don't advise that you try it. He didn't have a big limca next to him either to quench his thirst. In the winter, he would go in the northerly direction and in the cold of the winter keep himself immersed in the cold water up to his neck and then come back here for the summer again. And this he did also for a long time. It was austerity to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who spoke from as a voice from the sky to Kanva, saying, "Don't worry. In course of time, the Personality of Godhead will come. So until then, you continue your bathing in Chakra, Tirtha, and all your desires will be fulfilled." So this Chakra Tirtha is nearby, and before it was known as Chakra Tirtha, it was known as Hansa Tirtha, because this is the place, we know this from Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic sources, that there was a form of the Lord as a swan, Hansa Avatar, who instructed the Vedas to Lord Brahma, and that place was here, Hansa Tirtha. However, Hansa Tirtha became known as Chakra Tirtha based on the following pastime of the Personality of Godhead. Even before Ravana became the king of Lanka, of course, there were other persons ruling that tract of land, and it was ruled by three brothers named Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan. And Malyavan was the only one that was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Sumali was particularly learned in scripture, but he applied them in a harsh way. Just like Ravana was very learned in scripture, but he applied scripture in the harsh way, in an against Vishnu way. And in other words, he exhibited demoniac characteristics. So the two of the three brothers, Mali and Sumali, they gradually grew in strength, and they applied that strength in horrible ways. They became terrible personalities, harassing persons in this world, and even were calculating how to extend their power and harassment into the heavenly regions. And so the rishis approached the devas for some relief from these demoniac personalities. They went to Lord Brahma, and then similarly Lord Brahma went to the shore of the Milk Ocean and offered his prayers to the Personality of Godhead, who then spoke in response to Lord Brahma, indicating that he would very soon appear and dismiss these rascal demoniac personalities from the face of the earth. The Lord kept his word. When he came to Lanka, he blew upon his conch shell, Panchajanya, but not so soft, so loud that it shattered the ears and it shattered the hearts and drove fear into the demoniac soldiers that were under the care of Sumali and Mali. And a huge battle started. And the battle lasted for 1 year. And these demons were so powerful that even the Personality of Godhead, I mean, like with Hiranyakashipu, it took a while. He was playing like a cat may play with a mouse. the cat doesn't necessarily chomp on the mouse right away. But as mouses are played with by cats, Lord Nrisingadev was playing with Hiranyakashipu. This description is they were very, very fierce in battle. So the other weapons of the personality of Godhead were not destroying these two demons. Finally, the Supreme Personality Godhead called upon the Sudarshan Chakra. That was all it took. The two demons were at once killed. The entire army was wiped out. And Sudarshan Chakra was standing patiently by the side of Lord Narayana, ready for the next call of action. According to the narration, Sudarshan Chakra was strewn with blood and entrails of the dead demons, and the Lord indicated that he should clean himself, go to Hansa Tirtha, and there he could cleanse his Sudarshan body and purify himself from that contact with those demoniac personalities. So from that time on, Hansa Tirtha became Chakra Tirtha. And that Chakra Tirtha is now part of this whole pastime place. Pula Ranya. And he indicated to his Sudarshan, the time will come when I will come back again in my form as Lord Ram, the son of Dasarath, and both I and Lakshmana will take bath in the same Chakra Tirtha, having slain Ravana. Hearing that, Sudarshan immediately went and took his bath. And during that time, this was Satya Yuga, the Chakra Tirtha was said to be one yojana, or 8 miles wide. But then in his next yuga, that one yojana shrunk by one quarter. And the next yuga shrunk by another quarter. And the next yuga shrunk by another quarter, and now is like a pond. And the katha ends by saying, when the water of Chakra Tirtha is clean and golden in color, people know without a doubt that prosperity will prevail in the kingdom. And the opposite, when the same pond is contaminated, it means that unfortunate occurrences and disturbance will take place in the kingdom, and people should be very, very concerned. Can something be done about these loud voices? So, on our way back from Kal Alagar, I was reminded of an annual festival that takes place in relation to the temple that we were at yesterday. So, the festival goes something like this. The pujari, once a year, has a big trunk of deity clothes. I don't know if you want to do this in Houston. But the practice there is that the pujari reaches in, doesn't look, we know what he's looking at, and reaches in, and whatever set of clothes he pulls out, that's the set of clothes that the deity will wear for the festival. And depending upon the color of the festival, it indicates what is the coming year's well-being. If the outfit is green, everything will be very prosperous and fruitful. If the outfit is red, drought, pestilence, disturbance. If the outfit is white, it means, you know, come see, come saw, everything will be normal, and so forth. And then there's a festival where the deity Sundaresha Bahu, Sundara Bahu, the Utsav Murti, is taken on procession all the way to the main river, Vaigai River, yes? It's 4 days each way. 15 days total.
10 days
total. So 5 days each way. And as the deity is placed in the water, everyone understands that will indicate, according to the color of the dress, that will indicate the good fortune or ill fortune for the coming year. And similarly, I don't know if you noticed when you were there, but it was pointed out to us, there are places where the agriculture community, people that grow crops, before they begin harvesting their crops, some of each of the crops are brought to the temple to be offered to the deity, and they have storage bins, which means, you know, the needs of the deity are taken care of without any consideration, just by culture. And those who are Vaishyas, agriculturalists, the fruits of their agriculture goes where? To the personality of Godhead. And not only, you know, the modest amount, but the whole fortune of their being is dependent upon pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, so we had a nice discussion in the car ride on the way from Madurai to Tirupalani, where Shankadari, who lives here, was expressing some of his unhappiness at, well, on the one hand, what Vedic culture was, and at the other hand, where things are today. So the Vedic culture, on the one hand, was each of the varnas was centered around the Supreme Lord. Just, you know, it was built into the system. Whatever you were. I was commenting, you know, these temples, I mean, how long would it take to build a temple like this? You know, Shamasundra, how many years did it take you to build the temple in Houston? And, you know, to build a temple like this. And I was commenting, so, okay, they had elephants to put the blocks of stone on the back of the elephant, or however they drag it, or however they did it. But how'd they get those blocks of stone out of the mountain? They didn't have, you know, tools. They had their hands and a hammer and a chisel. And Shankadari was saying, they have that skill. He was sharing with me, because he built the temple, as Shamasundra there built the temple. And in the course of building his temple, there are persons who are under the care of certain business people. What do they call them?
Bonded
servants. All they do is their skill. So he, to build his temple, specified, I would like a block of marble or stone or whatever it is, this size, and by that size, please. And zoom, zoom, zoom. They would go take care of it.
No machine.
Just hand. And within an hour, they would make one or two or three of them. By hand. No machine. Highly skilled people. So, you know, who has the skill to take these stones out of a mountain and cut them to size so that they would exactly fit the next stone and the next stone and the next stone? We don't have people with that skill today. We don't have people with that skill today. But in Vedic culture, whether one was a Sudra, or whether one was a Vaishya, or one was a Kshatriya, or one was a Brahmana, life was centered upon the personality of Godhead. When a temple was established, we're going to hear about
Ram establishing different kings in different situations. The purpose of establishing a king was for the preservation and well-being of the place. And one of the ways that the king would establish that was a form of the Lord, and then a temple for the form of the Lord, and then villages under the care of the king, that would have both agricultural land, so the resources needed to maintain the temple would be just built into the system. And the taxes. Each temple would have hundreds of acres of agricultural land. For what purpose? Not for exploitation, but for the deity and the festivals and the things that temples do for the people. Vedic culture is natural. And then, there's administrators. And administrators aren't interested in lining their pockets. The administrators are interested in following the guidance of the Brahmanas, who are interested in the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and the service of all living entities. And then Kali Yuga advances, and part of Kali Yuga advancing has many, many manifestations, but one of them is the centrality of the deity and the worship of the deity is lost, and then the usurping of the authority of the deity from a qualified king to a government officer who's atheistic, that doesn't really care about the deity, it's just, where's the money? And then the land encroaching on the land and taking over the land and the resources of the taxes, so the temple looks dilapidated. The temple doesn't have the festive and the clean and the inviting and the sparkling and the whatever it is, inspiration. So, he was going on. I had to, change the subject. He said, sometimes I have to shout at these people because they've just simply lost the spirit of Vedic culture. And the democracy comes in and on and on. I heard the same thing from Devananda Pandit in Vrindavan. Different version. But, one of the things that the democracy did is factories are our temples. And temples are not worth, don't waste your time going, to explicit propaganda, atheistic propaganda. This is the cause of why India is behind England and the rest of the world, is because too much devotion to the Supreme Lord, and therefore we need technology and industry and development of the economy, and that's where our attention should go, and completely buying into that and completely taking away the authority and the power, so that kings were just nobodies, insignificant personalities with no power, no authority. And so therefore the neglect of the temples and the Krishna-centered way of life. And then comes the Hare Krishna movement in the midst of all of that. And, Shankadari was describing, we're encountering lots of pilgrims coming to the temples now because it's this particular season where the Ayyappas come. And it's not the season where the Ayyappas come, and the temples are not populated like this. They're neglected. And people, because the money, you can just get lost in describing the contaminations of the age of Kali. The government controls the whole machine. So whatever goes into the hundi box goes into the minister's pocket. It doesn't go into service to the deity.
Midday meal.
Anyway. So people don't frequent the temple. They want to give their money to the brahmanas to support the brahmanas. But then the brahmanas become greedy, and the whole thing just becomes spoiled and spoiled and further spoiled and further spoiled and further spoiled. Just like, you know, when we went to the Govindaji temple. I mean, fortunately, we went at a time that the place was locked. We went so early. But you go there when the place is open, and it's dirty, and there's bat stool everywhere, and monkeys everywhere, and it's unclean. It's neglected because it's just like a museum at best, because who's looking after it? So now in comes the Hare Krishna movement, and many of us from what, you know, here there's a lot of families from India, either born in India or from India, and you're the children that are born in the West but from Indian families, and some of the rest of us are from some other parts of the world where, put it this way, here's what Shankadari was saying. If it was just the temples, I wouldn't be practicing Krishna consciousness because there's so much corruption and, you know, undesirable features of how the whole thing is conducted. But fortunately for us, Kalir Doshanad Hei Rajan, Yasti Eka Mahan Gunan Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. If it were not for the holy name of the Lord, where would we be? Don't think too much about it. Not a good place. And of course, with the holy name of the Lord comes the teachings, unadulterated teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam coming through disciplic succession. But just like, I mean, I don't want to get picky, but just like yesterday, when, you know, that the Brahmana who was going off and off and off, he was saying things that aren't even within their Tamil Alvar scriptures. This thing and that thing and the other thing, that's just like invention. And that, you know, the wall, the gate, you know, that crazy lady screaming and yelling? Yeah. Oh, yeah, then must have seen. You heard it when we entered into the temple, towards the temple.
Karpur,
that the two metal gates where nobody was, and there was a screaming lady in front of the gate. Did you pass by there? You didn't pass by there. No one's nodding and acknowledging. It's a sham. It's a farce, you know, because that, you know, mystical personality that's within the door supposedly has influenced the lady, and she's now like channeling this, you know,
Karpur
and saying things to people. And then everybody hobbles around. Oh, what's she saying? Then she goes home for TV dinner and watching television. It's Kali Yuga. So purity is so rare to find. And even when purity exists, how can people recognize it without the qualification? And how can they access it without the qualification? And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this very simple method of chanting the holy name. Anybody anywhere can chant the holy name, and the gathering of the personalities here is testimony to that. We're from all different parts of the world. That, at least for many of us, we didn't know anything about Krishna, and for some of the rest of you, you probably thought you know all about Krishna. That was my experience as a book distributor in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement. We just didn't approach anybody from Indian, with an Indian body, with the Bhagavad Gita, because the answer would always be, oh, I know everything about Krishna. I know everything about Krishna. Now it's a little different. People say, well, let me see what you have. They like the picture, so they buy the book. Or they think it's pious, so they buy the... Anyway. Our good fortune is the holy name, is the message here. And the descending mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we're going to We're here until what o'clock?
Until
what time? Okay. We're here in this vicinity until 2 o'clock. We're going to have lunch at 2 o'clock. So it's now a little before 11 o'clock. So we have lots of time together. And three main things is more kirtan, and some description of the process of surrender, because this is Sharanagati Kshatra. So just the principles of surrender, and then the pastimes. The third is the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra that he performed in relation to this place, and you know, just preceding Vibhishan coming and so forth and so on. So we're going to hear the pastimes of Ram in relation to this place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. Ramanujacharya came here. I can't recall if Lord Nityananda came here, paid their respects. Lord Ramachandra took his bath here along with Lakshman in their return after killing Ravan. This is one of the Divya Desham locations, that is, the Alvars wrote poems and prayers in praise and honor of this location.
This is Vikramangai Alvar.
Okay.
He has sung 20 songs about
it. 20 songs about this place by one of the Alvars.
Vikramangai Alvar, who built Sri Rangam?
He built Sri Rangam.
That is Vikramangai Alvar.
Okay, you say it so fast, I can't repeat it. But the Alvar who built Sri Rangam.
Tirumangai,
there we go. You've heard of Tirumangai Alvar. He was responsible for the building, or reconstruction actually, of Sri Rangam that we see today.
Hare Krishna. There are 20 songs he has sung on about this Tripulani. Prabhu has selected 3, I'll sing them. வில்லால் இலங்கை மலங்கச் சரம் துறந்த வல்லாளன் பின்போன நெஞ்சம் வருமளவும் எல்லாரும் என்ன தன்னை ஏசினும் பேசிடினும் புல்லாணி எம்பெருமான் பொய் கேட்டு இருந்தேனே.
Okay, look at that. My heart went after the Lord of Pulani, the skilled archer who shot arrows and burnt Lanka's city to dust. While all my relatives blame and slander me, I wait for my heart's return, reposing my faith in the false words of my Lord.
Priya Raniyanadu Kahamani Vokira Hariuru Aikindan Arutandava Namakku பொருதுரைகள் போன்று உளவு புல்லாணி கைதொழுதேன் ஹரிமலர் கண் நீர் ததும்ப அம் துகிலும் நில்லாவே.
I joined my hands to worship the Lord in Pulani, where waves come beating against the shore. This is how he graces us, he who came as a man-lion and tore into the chest of Hiranya with his beautiful nails. My beautiful flower-like eyes do not stop raining tears. My dress does not stay on my person.
கணையார் இடிக்குரலின் கார்மணியின் நாடோ கிளையேனும் நில்லாது தீயில் கொடிதாலோ புனையார் மணிமாட புல்லாணி கைதொழுதேன் வினையின் மேல் வேலையும் வெம் தளவே வீசுமே.
The ringing chime from the wagging tongue of the black bull's neck bell never ceases, burning my soul hotter than fire. I joined my hands in worship of the Lord of Pulani with jeweled mansions. Alas, even the waves of the sea spit fire on my sinful self. Tirumangai. Alvar, honoring this particular location. So, 2 to 3 kilometers from here is where the sea comes, and one who goes there can look within the water or wade within the water and see where the beginnings of the bridge to Lanka took place. So we're going to hear in a little bit the special pastimes of Vibhishan coming here and surrendering, and then the spies of Ravana coming and surrendering, and then Varuna or Samudra taking shelter and surrendering, and then Ram along with the monkey warriors beginning to make their bridge to Lanka.